praise reports, please email us at meritassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good day to you, Brevard County. Thanks for joining us here on the Refresh Radio program. You're listening to WMIE 91.5 FM, Today's Modern Worship. You can catch this program 8:30 of a morning, 5 o'clock of an evening right here on WMIE. WWBC 1510 AM and the corresponding FM frequencies over there. You can catch us at 10:30 of a morning. You can also find us at WMIEFM.com. You can listen on demand and just type in the date. And so if you miss one of our programs and say, I wonder what he had to say yesterday, you can type that in and type the date in, and that gives you a little sub menu of the programs. And Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs is one of those tabs there, and you can download it, you can listen to it later, however you choose to do that. We just are thankful for the technology that lets us bring the Word of God to Brevard County. And so our county has grown a great deal in the past, since 2013 when we started this program. And we want to thank each and every one of you for listening, and pray that it is a blessing to your life and it's something that you look forward to. So today we're going back to Titus chapter 2, but I would like to say thank you to our friends at JITS Concrete, they are experts in all things concrete. I see some concrete projects that are going up, and one of the things that I say is, I want to thank God that there are people who know what they're doing when it comes to concrete. There's from the fortification to the how to determine the location, the substructure, the strength of the concrete, where to get the concrete, when to get it delivered, what time they've got to show up, how long it's going to take for them to process the material. All those are things that I don't have a skill set for. I don't want to develop a skill set for. I've got the friends at JITS Concrete who can make that all happen. So they can be reached at 321-536-5804. That gets you in touch with Greg. Greg can get with you and see if y'all can come to an agreement on a time frame, a scope of the project, a price, and then they will put their decades of experience, their expertise, and their great work ethic to work on your project and get your foundation started right, so everything above that will be anchored and can withstand the storms here in Brevard County. JITS Concrete, 321-536-5804. We are thankful for their years of support to the Refresh Radio program. Today we're going to be in Titus chapter 2, verse 9. We're going to read in verse 9 and 10. And the wording that we're going to look at here is something that would reflect the economic conditions of, you know, the first century world. But we're going to bring it into a modern application. So verse number 9. Exhort bondservants to be obedient to their own masters, to be well-pleasing in all things, not answering back, not pilfering, but showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in all things. Now, there was a reality in the ancient world, and that was there were slaves. Unfortunately, we had slavery that existed as part of American history. We do not endorse that. We don't like it. There was a lot of biblical abuse that was going on at the time that made people feel that was socially acceptable. But it's not. You might think it is a historical problem. In actuality, there is still people that are held in human trafficked in our modern times. Most of it now happens because of illegal activity. Some of it happens because of substance abuse. Some of it happens because of fractured relationships. And so I want you to understand, we're not condoning slavery. In the ancient world, there were generally two types of slaves. There were either people who were captured in war, treated as prisoners of war, and they were made servants of a household, or there were people who fell upon economic challenges and they enlisted themselves for a certain period of time. In the Old Testament, it was for the seventh year they would go free. And then many times what they had previously would be restored. So what I would like to do is put this in the context of an employer-employee relationship, because there are some principles here in Titus chapter 2, verses 9 and 10 that we can bring into our modern work ethic. So, verse number 9, exhort bondservants to be obedient to their master, to be well-pleasing in all things, not answering back, not pilfering, but showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in all things. So, we're going to look at the bondservants as being employees. We're going to look at the masters as being the employers. And, we're going to recognize that we have the greater responsibility to treat one another as brothers and sisters in Christ, not hold that position of authority as a weapon, but instead as a way to be beneficial. There was this guy in American history. I don't really remember his name right now, but he had a number of people who worked for him, and his goal was to make his employees some of the wealthiest people on the planet. They may not have been as rich as he was. They may not have been as rich as some of his friends and his peers, but he treated them well. So if you are a person with employees, you need to use that business platform that God has given to you as a means of enlarging the kingdom of God. So, and you can do that. There are Christian businesses today that are some of the most beneficial places to work. They do kingdom causes through there. There are some businesses that are extremely generous to parachurch ministries, Christian universities. There are a lot of great things that are done because people see, I'm not given this position just to make money. I am given this position, this ownership, made a steward of these resources to advance the kingdom of God. So that's what we're going to look at here. It starts by Paul commissioning Titus to exhort, and again, that's to encourage, to come alongside and help employees and teach them the things that they need to know. And it's one of the things is to be obedient to their own masters. I came from a business background. A lot of times I would start off at a lower level position, and then eventually I would make it up to management. One of the things that I always did was I treated the departments or the stores that I managed the way that I would want to treat them. So one time one of my stores was getting ready to close. The company had lost its lease. The entire company was going out. And so I called our employees together, our salespeople, and I said, We have a new goal. Our goal is to be one of the last stores that closes because we are doing such a good job of taking care of our customers. That meant we adapted for a period of time a different strategy because all of a sudden we were having a tsunami of customers for a very small number of employees. So we adapted and we were one of the last people to go out of business. There were times, however, when the company would put in a policy and then I would institute the policy and then the company would undermine their own policy. And during one of those episodes, I actually got a visit from my general manager because someone had written a letter to the president of the company. They had worn out a pair of boots. I could still tell you the name. I might even be able to tell you the size. I can tell you the color. I can tell you the person's occupation. They called me every name under the sun, and there really was not a defect with the product. They had just worn them out. I can even tell you the price. And so when the manager came in, I said, "You'll never have this problem with me again." The general manager. And he said, "Well, what do you mean?" I said, "Well, now I understand the policy. The policy is not what is written on the paper. The policy is what you are telling me with this situation. And so I will be obedient. I will fulfill your policy mandates." And I did. They never had another problem with me again, even though, you know, they didn't necessarily think that their policy was the same thing I thought their policy was. My job as an employee is not to make the rules. My job is to do my best to make sure that the product that is presented, whatever it is, whether it's manufacturing, whether it's sales, whether it's services, whatever it is, that I'm going to do that job to the glory of God. It's a whole lot easier to live an obedient lifestyle when you realize that you're ultimately working for God than it is for working for a flawed individual. And that just doesn't mean that you're working in church. It means that when you show up, you put in an honest day's work for an honest day's wage, and you are doing it not for the accolades of men, but you're doing it for God. So we need to teach people how to follow the chain of command. And that means you're not there to, you know, say, "Well, it ought to be done my way." I know people who cannot work for other people. They are so insistent that it has to be done their way that the only way that they can thrive is working for themselves. They just cannot work under authority. That's not a strength. That's a weakness. So we need to teach people how to be obedient, how to follow orders. We also need to teach people, here in verse number 9, how to be well-pleasing in all things. So the goal of the training is to make sure that the job that is being done is acceptable and that the person you are accountable to is pleased with what you are doing. So, I forget how many years ago it was, but it was 15 or 17 years ago, something like that. God laid a person on my heart. We were in need of a worship leader, and God laid a person. I didn't know their name. I just knew who they were. Didn't really know how all of that was going to work, because I don't go to other churches and try and hire people from other churches. That's not the way that I operate. But God had laid this person. Come to find out, they weren't where they were before, and that God was dealing with them about getting involved in worship ministry again. And so when they came, out of all of the employees that I had ever had, they were asking me this: is this the way you want this done? Are you happy? I don't know about all of the back story of where they worked before. All I know is that for a long time now, they have done their job and said, is this the way that you want it done? And so if there's ever something that I suggest, they will do their best to make that happen. But I would highly encourage you, don't wait for your manager to ask you for feedback. Ask them for feedback. Is this the way you want it done? Because if it's not, you don't want those small little seeds of strife and discord festering underneath the surface. You want to do your job, and you want to please those who are that you're accountable to. The next phrase of this verse is not answering back. That means not contradicting, not speaking against, not opposing, and not backtalking. So it's not meant to be an argument between an owner or a manager and an employee. You've got to know, and you have to teach people how to control their tongue. You don't want to be saying things that are going to burn bridges that God may use later on in your life. So, now, if the person is secure in their management style, they are going to be open, not for backtalk, not for arguing, but they're going to be open for suggestions, ways to improve things. If things are not improving, then that's a problem. So at one point in time, there was a steel manufacturing facility, and some people from another country came and they looked at the steel manufacturing process, and it was cutting edge. It was fantastic. Those people went back and they implemented some of the things that they saw in their country, and they become much more proficient at it. So several years later, they decided to come back to the facility that they had toured before. And rather than being impressed, they were unimpressed, because they were still doing things exactly the same way they were before. They had not advanced. And they recognized that no longer was that place the innovator in steel production, but now they were. And so everything that we do, we can get better at. I'm still trying to be better at preaching and teaching. I try and be better on the radio. And so you and I, we need to conduct ourselves in such a way that we are advancing the product, advancing the company, at the same time we are not undermining the leadership. I've had people who were very active in trying to undermine positions of leadership because they wanted the position of leadership. I want you to know that's carnality. In the kingdom of God, faithfulness in the task you've been assigned leads to promotion to greater responsibility, so that greater faithfulness can be demonstrated. And faithfulness leads to fruitfulness. So don't bring worldly backstabbing into your godly lifestyle. You don't want to be the person who is having their speech used against them. Okay. Verse number 10 says not pilfering. Now, I will tell you that when I read that, I think of stealing. I think of, you know, people who are taking things that don't belong to them. And many times in our modern society, people will do that not because they need it, but because they think that they are underappreciated and that they have determined on their own that they deserve it, and so they steal it. So Christians are not supposed to be thieves. They're not supposed to be taking resources that do not belong to them. But there's another aspect to this word when I looked in the Greek lexicon, and that is not keeping back or not holding back. And so this is a completely different take on this than what many people would think. But I'll put it to you this way. You are not just called to show competency at the level of your job. You're supposed to do that. But you are also supposed to demonstrate a competency that would manifest itself to an even greater degree at the next level of authority. So there are people that I've heard that said, I only put forth the effort of the pay that I am given. Well, when I first came to Merit Assembly of God, that meant I never would have preached a sermon because I was preaching for free. I was working 40 plus hours at my regular job. I was working 30 to 40 hours a week at the church, and I wasn't even getting paid for that. It was just all for the glory of God. But when you demonstrate faithfulness, you say, you know what? I've got more to offer than what this level requires. Let me show you what I'm capable of doing. There are some people who have said, if I don't have a title, I'm not putting forth the effort. Again, you're holding back something that could make your company, make yourself more valuable. You know, we live in a day and time where there are corporate cutbacks that happen all the time. When those cutbacks happen, is not the time to adopt this mindset. The time to adopt this mindset is very early on in the process, where you say, I am very, very valuable to this company. And so I tease my office manager. She's going to be retiring next month. And I have told her for years, one of the two of us is indispensable, and it's not me, it's you. She's extremely valuable. I recognize that the people who work at Merit Assembly of God, that they are precious gifts from God, not just to me, not just to the church, but to the community, to advance the kingdom of God. Demonstrate a competency and show that you are a good person, that you are a faithful person. It is something that is supposed to be demonstrated, not just discussed. Okay? So you don't hold back, but you show a good fidelity, a faith, and a faithfulness that is going to be appreciated by the company. And so Marines, you know, Semper Fi. Always faithful. And that statement should be true, not just for pastors, but for every believer, that we are faithful, not just when we're in church, but we are faithful and we are beneficial, fruitful, and productive at home and at work. So what happens is when you are demonstrating those things, that there is an impact on the message that we carry of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that is that they, the bondservants, the employees, may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in all things. The Bible talks about that there were women of old And sometimes they were women of faith before their husbands and their children were men of faith. And it says what they did was they adorned themselves in such a way that it made the gospel attractive. I'm a function over form person. I want to make sure things work the way that they are supposed to work. But I also realize that there is a gift that makes that which is functional look attractive. You want people attracted to the functionality. The gospel of Jesus Christ works. It is true. It's going to endure for all things. There is no regret for ever doing the right thing at the right time. No regrets for that. It is highly encouraged. The thing that that also does is when we live it, wherever we go, we live it with the words that we say, we live it with the effort that we put forth, the way that we manage God's resources is people see the life that we live and they see a beauty in it. And while the world is attracted to beauty, they may not understand where that beauty comes from. But when they understand that the beauty that they see in our effort, the attractiveness that comes from our emotional well-being, the way that we build people up, when they realize that that's coming because Jesus has done that for us, it's not going to be long until the doors of their heart are opened and you are going to get to present the Word of God and what it has to say about God, our Savior, and how He wants to influence every area of our life. I read a book at one time about a guy. He started off as a custodian. When he wrote the book, he was the CEO because he showed himself faithful in cleaning toilets. He became the CEO of a company telling others about Jesus. Have a great day. We'll see you next time here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, "He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed."
Whalen Duff with Keller Williams Space Coast Realty is a friendly, knowledgeable, active, and accessible real estate agent here in Brevard County. Keller Williams is known for real estate services all across the world, and Whalen specializes in helping buyers purchase the right place to call home, as well as helping sellers market and negotiate the sale of their single-family home, condo, vacant land, or business. Whalen Duff can be reached at 321-536-5973 or visit whalenduff.kw.com. Whalen Duff with Keller Williams Space Coast Realty is your local realtor who provides all you need and the time you deserve to get your real estate purchased or sold.